hear the good news of Jesus Christ read aloud as a community of believers. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. It is on the back of your bulletin. Maybe you got it too, Carl? Yeah, we're going to broadcast it. I'm going to put it on the screen for you also. And I invite you to hear the good news. The next day, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the Law and the Prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" And Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "This is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you, you will see heaven open and God's angels coming down from heaven and going up to heaven and coming down on the earth on the human one." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, this is... We're in a series right now. It's God Calls is the series. Today we're talking about the idea of believe. Believe plays a very important part in the message of God Calls. Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church, said that there are two kinds of believing. The first kind of believing is to believe things about God. Believe things about God. These are things that we can affirm about God, things that we believe as facts, encyclopedia knowledge, book knowledge, ways that we have studied and learned about God. A second kind of belief in God is beginning to put trust in God, to bet our lives on the truth that there is a God, to surrender all to God and to follow God. We believe that God is with us, and nothing can separate us from God's love. And we had an Old Testament lesson read in the other section on Samuel. You remember Samuel? Samuel was a prophet. He was a very early prophet, before most of the prophets except for Moses. Samuel was a person who was, mother was barren. Her name was Hannah. And I could talk to you a lot about Hannah, but suffice it to say that she was barren and couldn't have children. And she begged God that she might have children, might have a son. And she promised God that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate the child to serve God all the days of his life. And God listened to this. And after a while, he gave Hannah what she asked for. He gave Hannah a son. And she named him Samuel, because she said, "I have asked God for him." Samuel. Hannah followed through with her promise to give Samuel to God, and as soon as he was weaned, Samuel was placed under the care and the training of an old priest named Eli. Eli was gradually losing his vision, but he was faithful in his teaching of young Samuel. He was even including some of the light duties around the tabernacle in Samuel's training. But one night, when Samuel was about 11 years old, he had a life-changing experience. He was lying down there in the house of the Lord, trying to sleep, when he heard a voice in the night call to him, saying, "Samuel." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down Again, the voice called, Samuel. And once again, Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel had been studying about God. The record indicates that he had studied God, but he did not yet know God. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, I think that's interesting, don't you? I believe there may be people today, including adults in church, who have studied God but don't know God. I wonder. Maybe it's because we have not been listening for God's voice, or perhaps we simply do not believe what God has to say. Yet for a third time, this voice called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Eli said, I did not call you. And then it dawned on him, you know, third time's the charm. It might be God. It might be God calling Samuel. He said, You go back and lie down, and if the voice calls again, you answer and say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went. He lay down in his place. And the Lord came, and he stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. It's a beautiful story about the call of one of Israel's great prophets. God spoke, and Samuel listened. Samuel didn't merely hear words from God. Samuel believed God, and believing changed Samuel's life. He did what God asked him to from this story, and Samuel kept on believing. The 19th verse of this chapter says, So Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not allowing any of his words to fail. In other words, Samuel, who heard God's call and believed, had a lifelong relationship with God and a fruitful ministry. God calls us in many different ways. God speaks to us in many forms, and almost all of them are gentle. Almost all of them are subtle. Almost all of them can easily be mistaken for something other than God calling. That is, until we heed that call from God, we respond to that gentle yearning that reaches out for us. We discover the power of God that is in them, and the power of God that is behind the calling. That's what happened in today's gospel lesson. The power behind the call of God is discovered by one who decides to listen to it. The gospel tells us that shortly after his baptism, Jesus decided to go up to Galilee. He had already received Andrew and Simon Peter as disciples. And Jesus goes out now and finds Philip. He seeks him out, much like he sought out Samuel, much like he seeks out us. And he said, Philip, follow me. Now Philip responds to this call, and as he prepares to join Jesus, he goes and locates a man named Nathanael, and he says to him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son from Nazareth. Now, it's obvious from the text that both Philip and Nathanael were seekers. That is, they were searching for God and God's activity in their lives, men who were looking for the promised one of God. But Nathanael is not prepared to accept the call of God he has heard through Philip. In fact, he's not at all sure the call is from God, and he says, Can anything from Nazareth be good? Still, Nathanael goes with Philip. He goes to check out what he has been told, and in doing so discovers Jesus is a prophet, that he has special powers. For Jesus knows without being told where Nathanael was the moment before Philip called him. And Jesus says to Nathanael, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these. I assure you, you will see heaven open and God's angels coming up to heaven and going down to earth on the human one, that is, on Jesus. I see people like Samuel and Philip and Nathaniel, people who work for God. But still, I wonder when I see them, how many of you believe that God has spoken to you personally? How many of you believe that God has personally called you to do what you are doing? And those of you who do believe this, how many of you believe that God is still with you, still guiding you, or at least trying to guide you each day? God is calling all of us, calling to all of us, calling us not just to follow God. God is calling us to do and say particular things at particular times, calling us to walk a particular path with God, a path that is similar to but not identical to the path of all disciples, apostles, and saints who've gone before us, of all of us. God has a plan for you. God seeks to guide you, and that call is personal. God calls, believe. Nancy Ortberg tells of going out to dinner with a man named Doug Cole in Washington, D.C. some years ago. Doug told her about a 30-year-old insurance executive that he met at a party. Doug learned that this young man, Bob, was a new Christian. He was intrigued and he asked Bob how things were going. "Have you found a church?" Bob said, "Yes." Doug went on, "Have you found a Bible study?" Bob said, "Yes, I have." Then Doug asked, "How about your personal relationship with God in prayer?" Bob didn't have much going on there and said that he didn't know much about that. So Doug laid out a challenge for him. He challenged him to pick something to pray for every day for the next 6 months. These prayers could be elaborate or simple. They could be structured or free form. They could just be a time to listen and or speak with God, whatever. But Bob must pray for at least briefly every day for the exact same thing. If at the end of that 6 months God had not done something truly significant, Doug told him, "I'll pay you $500. Nancy said, "It doesn't sound very biblical." "Well, no, but it's something I do to encourage people in their personal relationship with God," Doug responded. Now, Bob accepted this challenge. He didn't know what to pray for, so he and his wife, who lived in D.C., looked around and they saw their city's international flavor. They chose to pray for a foreign country every day, to pray for the same foreign country every day. So, along those lines, Bob decided that he would daily pray for Kenya. Not much happened for 4 or 5 months. The prayer experiment was yielding very little. And then one night, he sat with a woman at a dinner party, and she was from Kenya. She ran an orphanage. Bob related that he felt as though ice water suddenly was running through his veins. He had been fantasizing about how to spend that $500 Doug had promised him, but suddenly he had this strong image of the wad of $500 bills sprouting wings and flying away just as he sat there talking to the lady. He asked the woman for details about the orphanage and he listened to her answers intently for a full hour. It was an intense hour, according to Bob. She told Bob that no one else had ever shown such interest and asked if he would consider flying to Kenya to see that firsthand. Now, to make a long story short, Bob did this, and he ended up providing for the care of the Kenyan children and for seeing that the supplies of the orphanage were taken care of. He made such a splash that the president of Kenya invited him to come to his palace, and while Bob was there, he advocated for prisoners of conscience in that country. Later, those prisoners were released. And the U.S. Secretary of State called Bob and asked him how he did it. The United States government had been trying unsuccessfully for years to get these people freed. It was no mystery to Bob how it came about. God had guided him to pray for Kenya, and wonderful things were happening. If you and I truly believe in God, we see wonderful possibilities in our lives too. When we hear God's call to believe, we too will see greater things than we can imagine. There's a quote attributed to St. Antoine that says, "A pile of rocks ceases to be a pile of rocks when someone has a cathedral in mind." Let me say that to you again. A pile of rocks ceases to be a pile of rocks when someone has a cathedral in mind. When Jesus first laid eyes on his would-be disciples, he didn't see a pile of rocks. He saw the beginning of a cathedral, a church. Jesus looked at the likes of Andrew, Simon, Peter, and Nathaniel and saw great potential, God-given potential. He didn't see rocks, he saw diamonds in the rough. When Jesus called those first disciples, he called them to believe. He called them to believe that great things lay ahead of them, to believe that in their own part, they were helping build God's great heaven on earth. In his book, Finding God in Unexpected Places, Philip Yancey describes a time when he and his wife visited the famous Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park. They were having lunch at the lodge, watching the digital clock ticking down the minutes until the next big splash. When that clock reached 30 seconds, diners left their tables and rushed over to the window overlooking the geyser. When Old Faithful erupted, all the tourists were oohing and aahing. And Yancey looked over his shoulder, and he saw the waitresses and busboys were using this time to clear the tables, the dirty dishes and the garbage. They had become so familiar with that unbelievable, spectacular eruption, timed just right, that it no longer impressed them. It no longer held their interest. Yancey wonders if that also isn't true in the church. And now I wonder the same thing. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Creator of the universe, the very Son of God, who came into our world and did so many great and spectacular miracles. He died and was resurrected. And now he's become to us boring? We no longer hear the voice of God calling our names and calling us to believe. We no longer believe and feel inspired to work with God to build God's own heaven on earth. Today, I want to challenge you to listen and hear God's call to believe. Now, I'm not going to offer you $500 to do this. However, I am going to challenge you to follow Doug's challenge for Bob. Pick something specific to pray about every day for the next 6 months. It can be an elaborate prayer. It can be a simple prayer. It can be a structured prayer. It can be a free-form prayer. Listen or speak to God, but pray every day, at least briefly every day. Sometime during the 6 months, your relationship with God will transform. I can't guarantee you that you will hear God call your name, as God called Samuel, but I can guarantee you that God will be speaking to you. I can't assure you that God will tell you that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth on Jesus, the human one, as Jesus said to Nathanael. But I can tell you, and I can assure you, that God has great things for us to do, for you to do, if we'll only answer God's call, believe.